A reading from the first letter of Peter, starting at chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place amongst you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you are sharing Christ's sufferings, so that you may also be glad and shout for joy when his glory is revealed. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory, which is the Spirit of God, is resting on you. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Discipline yourselves. Keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, steadfast in your faith, for you know that your brothers and sisters throughout the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that your Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all people to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thank you, Danny. Good morning, everybody. Let's just pray before we start this morning. Lord God, as we come before you this morning and open up your word, I pray that we would hear your Holy Spirit speaking to us. I pray that you would speak directly to our hearts, that these won't be my words, but it be you speaking through us. And we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're carrying on the theme this morning of 1 Peter chapter 4. And today's topic is sharing in the sufferings of Christ. Not a particularly easy subject, is it really? So what I thought we'd do, just for a moment, is if you think about what that phrase means to you, when you think about sharing in the sufferings of Christ, what does that mean to you? I won't ask you any questions, but I just thought I'd give you a moment to stop and think. And then what I'd like us to do is to have a look at the top of the rood screen there, with Jesus on the cross. And you think about the sufferings that he went through, the insults that people threw at him. He was betrayed by his friends. The nails that went in his hands. The separation from God at the point where he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? The pain, the anguish, and the agony he went through, and the sufferings he had on that cross. And in this week, where we see the sufferings that have gone on in Manchester, I just thank God that he sent his son who was prepared to suffer. Because we have a God who understands what that suffering and pain and anguish that those people are going through. As difficult as a decision, difficult situation as it is, we have a God we know who understands suffering, but can also bring comfort and healing and strength, because on the cross he bore all the pain and distress and suffering. And he suffered so that we can come back into relationship with God where we find peace and wholeness. That's partly why he suffered on the cross. And this week I have been, and maybe all of us have seen the actions of people, not just Christian people, who have gone to help those who have suffered, who have got out of their comfort zone, who have gone and given their time and effort and energy to help, to gather round, to support, to share in their grief, to say, we're here with you, to pray with them, to bring comfort, to maybe for some to bring something of Christ's love and peace. And I don't know about you, but I feel comfortable. I can, as difficult as it is, I can do that. But the bit that the passage talks us about today is a different type of suffering. That actually the passage talks about the suffering of the rejection, the hardships, and even the death that can come simply because of our faith in Christ. I don't know about you, but that type of suffering seems more difficult. And maybe even deliberately avoid situations where we might suffer in that way. But you see, when Jesus came on earth, he repeatedly warned his disciples that they would suffer because of knowing him. Of deciding to follow him would be great suffering, persecution, and even death. And in 1 Peter, in the verse 12 that we looked at today, in the NIV version, it says this, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on to you to test you as though something strange were happening to you." Now, it seems strange, doesn't it, to talk about a fiery ordeal. What it actually was is the Emperor Nero at that time was having Christians caught, covered in tar, set on fire, and planted in his garden at night to bring light to his garden. That's a pretty fiery ordeal, isn't it? So Peter writes to the Christians and says, you need to hear this. And this is where I think it gets really difficult, is that what Peter is saying is that suffering was part of God's will. and that they should not be surprised or shocked by it. I don't know about you, but I find that quite shocking. But it doesn't change from those many years ago to today. Because I know for some of you, maybe sitting here today, that you've seen or heard or felt some sense of suffering for your faith and for being a Christian where you are. Whether or not that is within your own family, maybe your spouse, your workmates, or friends. Maybe some of you can even say that being a Christian has meant a degree of personal suffering. I know for me, if I'm honest in my life, I've had a few times when people have said some quite nasty words to me and insulted me and been difficult situations in work where people have said, "Steve, don't bring any of that Christian stuff here." But I don't think at any point my life has ever been in danger. I don't think at any point my life is going to be about to be set on fire or the threat of imprisonment. But you see, that's the thing that this suffering is being talked about in this passage. That actually, you see, when we suffer, it's a good indicator that we are on the right road. If there is not much suffering going on, then maybe the challenge is to say in our lives, are we really witnessing for Christ? Are we really doing what he wants us to do with the life that he's given us? A few insults, a few words, yes, but there are many places in our world where Christians are suffering for their faith, more than just a few words. And I believe with all my heart that it's getting harder and harder to be a Christian. And I think the level of suffering and persecution is going to be more and more towards those who follow Christ. And not just in far-off countries, I think it's going to be something that will happen more and more in our country. And I don't know about you, I'd find it difficult for the day to come when we have to hide ourselves away to try and meet and worship. Where the name of Jesus we have to whisper quietly. Or where we stand here and there's somebody on the back door watching in case people come barging in just in case to talk about, stop what you're doing immediately. I don't know about you, but living in those moments of constant fear of worshipping God, a constant fear of suffering for our faith. I'm not sure how I would respond if somebody just came bursting in the back. I'd like to say I'd stand really firm in my faith and I'd be ready when somebody's pointing a gun at me and says, denounce your faith or die. But the thing that's really struck me as I've been preparing and listening to this and made me think a little bit differently is that when somebody says that to me and to you, I'd like to say that they're not just doing it to you or to me. They're actually doing it to Christ himself. You see, you and I, we're Christ's temple. He's in you. He's in me. Do you remember when Saul was on the road to Damascus and the light came down and Paul says, "Who are you, Lord?" Do you remember his response? It says, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." So when we see ourselves or Christians being persecuted or suffering, And when we minister to them who are suffering, it's Christ himself who's suffering, and it's Christ himself who we are ministering to. Do you see it like that? You see, we're no longer just people out there in other countries who are suffering. But we're all part of the same body of Christ around the world, and we're connected. I'm just not an individual Christian with an individual faith connected only to God. I'm connected to brothers and sisters around the world who share faith and understanding of Christ, and somehow we have to share in those sufferings. That's a big ask, isn't it? In a minute, we're going to take bread and wine together. And in 1 Corinthians 10, it talks about the elements of bread and wine not just being something that we remember Christ's death upon the cross, but actually something somehow that we participate in, we share in it. And for me, that's a really beautiful summary of what I've been trying to say today, that the suffering of Christ is not something that we just remember, but it's actually something that we participate in, we share in. And I want to issue as a challenge today to say, how can we more fully participate in Christ's suffering? And I think there's three things as we sit here in our relative comfort of Buckingham. The first one, I think, is that we can be instruments of healing and comfort to people. And we can do that through prayer, maybe financially, maybe through practical support. There are ways that we can write and pray for persecuted and suffering brothers and sisters in Christ. The second way, I think, is that we allow Christ to touch our hearts with the pain and the suffering that those people are going through. It may move us to tears having that sense of pain and understanding that brokenness. And I think the third way is that actually we have an awareness of where and how Christ is suffering in the world now, today. And one way to do that, there's a really good organization called Open Doors. Some of you may have come across them. They work with Christians who are persecuted around the world. And as a church, we support them and we financially pray and support their work. In a minute, I thought it'd be really good for us to see their latest video. And what this video shows us is the top five countries in the world where Christians face the greatest persecution, and the five most dangerous places on earth to be a Christian. So we're just going to cue this up and we'll play this for a couple of minutes.
Millions of
Number 5, Sudan. The government is determined that Sudan should be
At least 12 secret Christians were killed last year. Christians face violence at the hands of the militant Islamist group Al-Shabaab, but also from family and local landlords.
Number one,
North
Korea. North Korea is number one on the world list, as it has been every year since 2002. To follow Jesus in this country is to risk imprisonment, torture, and death. The regime considers Christians enemies of the state. Tens of thousands of Christians are incarcerated in horrific prisons. Thousands more keep their faith completely secret, often even from their own family. Even so, other churches are growing, and this secret the gospel is spreading.
Despite all this, the persecuted church is not merely surviving. It is living, growing, and continuing to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. But as persecution increases, persecuted believers need the support of their family, the body of Christ, to help them stand firm in their faith. Today, your voice, your prayers, your gifts are more vital than ever before.
It's not something we talk about very often, isn't it? And I don't think it's something we really share very much about what's going on. Occasionally when there's a major, massive atrocity and maybe lots of Christians get killed in one go, then it kind of makes the news, or it may get brought to the church for us to pray for. But I think there's day after day, hour after hour, our brothers and sisters who are being tortured and killed for their faith. So I wanted to try something a little bit today, if you'd be up for this. I wanted to see if we are prepared to stand and pray for those countries and for those Christians who are in those parts of the world that are really difficult. That actually we may not be able to go there and support, but maybe just by standing and praying before God and say, God, we hear, we see, and we want to bring that suffering, and we want to share in it somehow in our hearts and our minds and our prayers. So I literally want us to stand in a minute, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to call out 2 months of the year, and if your birthday is in those 2 months, I'd like you to stand up, and then I'll speak 2 country names for you to pray for. And then I'll do it with the next 2 months, and then the next 2 countries. And then at the end, we should all be standing, I hope. We should all have a birthday in one of those 12 months. And we'll pray just quietly in our hearts for those countries. And then at the end, I'll say a prayer to try to bring it all to a close. So can I encourage you, those with a birthday in January and February, to stand now, and you'll be praying in a minute for Iraq and Syria. For those with birthdays in March and April, if you can stand, because you'll pray for Sudan and Somalia. Those with birthdays in May and June, to pray for China and Nepal. For those with birthdays in July and August, and here I'll stand, is India and Pakistan. Those with birthdays in September and October, to stand and pray for Iran and Ukraine. For those in November and December, to pray for North Korea and Afghanistan. So let's just, in a couple of minutes of quiet in our hearts, pray for those countries. Heavenly Father, as we stand before you, as we lift these countries up to you, we want to say, Lord, that we want to share in the sufferings, Lord, that they are persecuting you. May we see their suffering, may we hear it, may we not be closed in our hearts, but may we suffer with them. May you help us to find a way that may be financially or through prayer or through action to bring comfort and healing. Lord, we do pray that you will share something of your pain with us so that we can feel the brokenness. We ask you to strengthen and encourage all Christians who today are suffering, are imprisoned, or persecuted for you. May they know your presence more and more. and may they know that we stand with them in prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.